I'm seen as wasteful if I toss
it. What if I can use it someday?
What if I end up stranded and I could use it to beckon?
What if I need to refer to it someday? What if I get rid of it and then can't find one that fits the same way? What if I want to put my plants in
it?
What if people don't know I ever owned it? What if I need it for stage? What if I have a big party and need all
these?
What if all the stores close and I can't buy anything? What if I can use this someday to mend carpet? What if it snows even harder next year and I can use these? What if I can never find another one like it? What if I lose a lot of weight and it'll fit again? What if I haven't done the laundry in such a long time that these will be the only ones I have left? What if I become destitute and can never afford to buy anything ever again? What if someone could repair it so that it looks perfect again? What if I get rid of it and then can't find it in the same color? What if I get rid of it and no one has any record of all the details that were on it? What if I gain a lot of weight and it would fit? What if I need it for a costume? What if I get rid of it and people won't be able to tell who I am? What if it's not worn out yet? What if I need it for a project? What if I had gotten it for free? What if I get rid of it and people won't know I was there? She's choosing my perfect feng shui colors. Her hands flittering through hundreds of compelling colors. Magenta, indigo, cinnamon, daffodil. I feel like I've pulled the lever on a home improvement slot machine, and my winning combination is a spin away. Cherry, cherry, cherry. Her expertly swift fingers rifle through the swatches, determining what my aura is beckoning. I'm so excited to find out what she'll pick. I've trusted her to paint over my living room's beloved terracotta red wall. Oh, she's slowing down, cocking her head as she contemplates. She's almost made her decision. I peer over her arm, my breath stuck in anticipation. Purples? She's pondering purples? Oh, no, 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 purples, purple, no. Purple is the co-op I lived in when I was 18. Purple pulsed off every wall. Purple is when I dated Mark, who has since changed his name to Sky with an E at the end and always spells magic with a J and then a K. M-A-J-I-C-K. We had the deepest love the world had ever felt. But after 3 years of watching him draw every woman in the co-op's nude portrait but mine, and becoming closer and closer friends with Christine, the bony, flaky Pisces, whose chastely big eyes could see nothing wrong with hanging out in my boyfriend's bedroom, until I climb the 5 flights of purple stairs to confront him about it, and I see their legs dangling off the bed. I spin around and take the plants he dotes over and hurl them down the spiral stairs. Crash, crash. Shards of red clay fly everywhere. The plant's roots lay exposed and gnarled. He leaves the mess on the communal steps. 3 days later, I take care of it, hoping no one will see me sweeping up the dirt. The colors chosen by my feng shui specialist are Great South Bay and Kilimanjaro. two similar shades of medium purple meets thistle meets slate blue. One named after a lagoon suffocating on industrial waste on the south coast of Long Island. The other, a dormant volcano with quickly retreating glaciers and molten magma just 1,300 feet below the summit crater. "Why these colors?" I ask, crossing my arms, trying to downplay my upturned nose. She replies, "Because I think they'll help you settle down." I'm doing something terribly wrong. My hip tightens, ready to lift my foot off the gas, turn around and take her back. But my heavy leg keeps steady. The unkempt parking lot spits crummy asphalt pebbles at my car's undercarriage, pinging the bumper's bottom with scolding strikes. Years before, on a late-night summer's walk, I found her waiting for me curbside, three blocks from my house. The glint of her carriage return lever beckoned my attention, while the yellow streetlight made each letter wink my way. The raised edges of her silver keys invited my fingertips to nestle in and get comfortable. I grabbed her glossy black sides and, with labored breath, carried all 30 pounds of her back to my place. A 1920s Royal Brand typewriter for the taking. She was all mine. En route, a chorus of clacking keys, over 80 years strong, drifted from the pads of my straining fingers to my eardrums. Snooted secretaries had begun their fastidious dance of skill, gracefully reaching deadlines, their eyes fixed on their paper partner, until zip! "There you are, Mr. Peterson."
The
final copy of the King Report?"
"Oh, yes, yes, thank you, Ms. Vintage. Say, as my secretary, I'd also like to thank you for developing your skills to include accurately typing without access to a delete button, and for maintaining the endurance necessary to hammer away at those heavy keys day in and day out without your wrists giving way."
"You're most welcome, Mr. Peterson. Anything else?"
"A cup of coffee, please."
"Right away." Every receipt, sales projection, thank you letter, end of the year report, retirement announcement, employee termination notice, they had all been created, one copy at a time. The weight of the typewriter's legacy had now been bestowed upon me. Urgent, proud, and distinctive. And heavy, and cumbersome, and awkward, and precarious. After slipping sheets of paper between her parts, I tried looking past her idiosyncrasies. The type bars of the X and F stuck. Her travel carriage added erratic extra lines. Distance between characters remained consistent, but the lowercase a jumped up a hair, wobbling the words. The uppercase M and E required multiple strikes for their arms' ink to adhere. And while the descending tails of Y and G were charming, her mismatched spools of ribbon teetered on spindles too thin. For years, I'd romanced of hitting the road with her, clutching her to my chest, her antique buttons pressing into my bosom. We'd check into dim motels, write novels, poems, get a knock from William and Hunter S. when it was time to take a break and enjoy a drink. "You've got to make it last, Royal. You've got to make it last forever. You're my responsibility now. Don't you fall apart on me.
Don't you be difficult. Don't you sit on my studio floor. Don't you start to gather dust. Don't just take up space. Don't allure me with promise. Don't mock me with potential.
By now, 5 years of empty promises have passed, and after much contemplation, I decide Royal needs to leave the house. She's only been used twice in all this time. We've had our life together, and I need to move on. I escort her to a place where I trust she'll be in good hands. Madison Typewriter, an anachronistic fix-it shop for all things ribbon run. Upon entering the store, the musty scent of parts and labor tells me a man runs the place. My stomach knots as I tell him I want to donate her. I tell myself I'm doing a good deed here, charitably preserving American history. I imagine a dignified last chapter to her life, where her keys and levers will be dusted, lubed, and admired. I'd like you to have this, I say to the owner, my widened eyes eager for his gratitude. The silver-haired man gives Royal the once-over, turns his staunch body to me, rests his hairy hand on the edge of the counter, and quickly says, I suppose I could use it for parts.
Parts? You suppose? You grubby, greasy, filthy old man. She still has her looks. She can still type. You're gonna lay her down on that nasty back counter that hasn't been cleaned since you started this place and wrench her apart like you'd spread your secretary's legs even after she'd met your deadline. You can't part her out like a goddamn lawnmower, you know. She's a masterpiece. She has value.
My face is flush with disbelief. With my fingers fidgeting the buckle on my purse, I scan his shop of half-heartedly salvaged typewriters, not able to look at my own. I can't take her back. I've already offered her up for adoption. Biting the side of my cheek, I tell myself everything will be fine, and thousands more of these typewriters will persevere, and history will not forget Royal. Have a good day. I say flatly, swinging the door open with a stinging slam of my hand. My glassy gaze shifts from the store's facade to my car's dashboard. My shoulders sink. I've done something terribly wrong. Was she such a burden? Couldn't I hang on to her for a little longer? Store her in the basement? What if I can still turn around? Take her back? A sudden honk jerks my head up. Got the green light.
Sorry.
Okay. To the car, to the other side of town, to the store, to the rack, to the dressing room, to the rack, to the dressing room, to the rack, to the cashier, to the car, to the house, to the closet, to the hanger, to the washer, to the dryer, to the ironing board, to the floor, the sewing machine, the needle and thread, the fabric store, the seamstress, folding, hand washing, hang drying, reshaping, repairing, altering, serging, bleaching the stains, not wearing it because I gained weight, not wearing it because it's vintage and its days are numbered, not wearing it because it fits perfectly and how will I ever find the same thing again, to the cobbler, to the sewing class, to online, to the post office to return it, to my credit card statement to make sure it was credited, and then the shoulders stretch out on the hanger and the fabric deteriorates from age and the fibers snag and shrink and fade and disintegrate.
Clean it up.
clean it up.
Listeners, it's time for spring cleaning, and we've found one woman who's been purging and organizing throughout this year's seasons. Our reporter, Richelle Letterman, has the story.
Upon entering the house, one gets the sense that its owner has been on a mission. Symmetry of its contents is apparent, but not dominant. The walls are newly painted in distinct colors, and there's an air of deliberateness to the objects chosen to occupy the home's interior.
Yeah, and there's not much to it. Here is the bedroom. Little tiny bathroom here.
Nicole Gruder, the home's owner, has been systematically bringing order to her seemingly chaotic self, having purged what she approximated to be about 60% of her belongings.
Well, I had a huge garage sale. I donated about 5 carloads of stuff. I put piles of things on the curb. I gave things to friends. Threw loads of stuff out.
Anything you regret having gotten rid of?
Yeah, there was a pair of my mom's boots. They were, like these 1970s style, just tight as hell, orangey red, sort of rusty colored leather boots.
Ooh, and why did you get rid of them?
They just didn't really fit me very well. They pinched my toes and they were really, really, really tight around my calves. So.
And why would you want them back?
Well, you know, they were my mom's and just kind of feel like. Well, I don't know. I just kind of guess I wish I wouldn't have given them away after all. And I don't know. I guess I don't really feel like talking about it. I don't know. Can we stop?
Yeah, of course.
And with that, we moved on to the kitchen. The cabinetry was maple, not painted.
So that's important, to have this space.
Yes.
Or are you thinking that you might want to move it downstairs into that basement area?
Not really.
Okay.
I don't like...
Too dark down there, want to stay up here where there's light.
Yeah, kind of.
And move it to give me space, because it's not going to fit your bedroom. It's not going to fit in the living room.
No.
And it's certainly not going to fit in the kitchen.
No.
Okay.
So if I can get, like, one sort of workstation here and one workstation there, that's great.
Okay.
And then all this other stuff... I don't know what we're going to do with. Because I don't know where... I'm not going to keep all these books. That's what they had Linda and I talked about. I just, you know, I need to let go of a lot of stuff.
Okay.
What about
the tapes?
Yeah, I need to let go a lot of those.
Okay.
So I think that we can get rid of, you know, all but maybe like 10 tapes.
Okay.
And I haven't done that yet. It's going to be really difficult to pare it down, but I don't ever listen to them. I just am clinging on to the past.
Okay. How quickly do you feel if I gathered books and put them in front of you that you can make the decision of out and keep?
Pretty quickly.
Okay. Yeah. How about the tapes?
A little bit more difficult.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cursory sort, even though the keep pile, you know, initial sort.
Yeah.
You think that could be pretty quick?
For the tapes?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, knowing that you get to go through them one more time.
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I like that.
All right.
Baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps. We'll take small. Even with the books, if you go through. So what we might want to do actually is do 3 piles. These are the absolute outs.
Yes, okay.
These are, oh my God, these can't go anywhere. I have to keep these. And these are the maybes.
All right.
So end up with 3 piles.
All right.
And then the maybes can be gone through one more time. But initially we can say, yeah, these are going out.
Okay.
These we know we're keeping. Now we know how many right now we're keeping. And that might double, but hopefully not too much more than what we have. and go from there. Does that feel more comfortable to you?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So because that's a big thing that's in here is we have books and we have tapes for those to go through and to whip through those quickly.
Yeah.
Clothes I'm not going to deal with right now, so we're going to ignore the closet. Let's go ahead.
You go ahead.
Let's talk about the stuff under here.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the things that we talked about briefly the last time was the typewriters.
Yeah.
One, two, three, how many more?
There's three.
Just the three. Yeah. Okay. Do you actually use any of them? Did you think more about potentially donating them to someplace?
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay. So they could at least...
After all these old things, I think the best place for it should be in a family, already a family, because Fabio liked very much to have it, but he has no family. What, he's alone, what can he have to do? Amsterdam in the Roosevelt, and my mother said always, Rita, she wants that the plates and the cups and saucers. Now, Chloe and Gray, we don't remember. Gray, she wanted to have it, but my mother said always, no, Rita, she wants it. So then Rita was in Holland, and she had to take it to America. And she don't want it, really. But she had to take it because my mother said, it's for Rita, and she wants it. And so that was the reason.
I tried to buy a similar tea set just because of the memory, because I remember being a little girl, going to Oma's house when she had visitors over, some friends, older ladies, and they were all having tea, and it was another world for me. I mean, I was
and all the people, and then we made the tea or the coffee, and then after we were eating something else, and then after again we had to wash all the dishes, all these cups, so they passed our hands very often, you know? But it was only just when...
I just remember I was just a little child, and Oma, our grandmother, used to have a cup of coffees with her friends or relatives. And I just remember these happenings of in the afternoon, usually having these coffees and usually some little biscuits together with the coffees. And that's the things I remember usually, the getting together of the people. And Oma always liked these moments of a little cup of coffee with a biscuit. This is what I remember.
And of course,
I remember.
I always have this feeling that I came home after my high school graduation, the years after that, and then I all of a sudden saw this tea set in Mama's cupboard, and I always thought that it was basically, well, ugly, and I think if I looked at the tea set again, I would maybe think it was beautiful because of the recent email exchanges and the attention that it's gotten, but it was always in Mama's cupboard, and it was never Papa's cupboard. And, yeah, it was always sort of this, yeah, ugly, non-eloquent sort of thing. But it was always there, sort of in my memory.
Well, not
not really. Vaguely, I know there was a tea set or something like that, and that's about all. I have no idea how it looked like or nothing. I cannot remember that.
No, I told you this. It went to from Holland to Mankato in together with the things of Corrie, who had to make a big move.
Oh, she brought it over. Oh, I see.
And then my mother, Oma, then she said to Rita, "Do you like it?" And then Rita said, "Yes." And so then she took the occasion that there was going to move such a container with all the furniture of Corrie from the Keizersgracht had to go to...
Yeah, I can even feel the way the couch, the sofa couch.
Yeah.
The structure of the couch. I can even feel it on my legs or on my hands. By remembering that, it comes all together, you know.
The fabric. You can remember the way
the fabric. Yes, the fabric. Yes.
You mentioned that it was itchy.
Yes. Yeah, it was. Very.
Very itchy.
Yes.
Oh, that's
so
funny.
Yeah. Well, it brings up a lot of other
memories. Never. Mama never used that tea set. And yeah, it's kind of a drag, but no, she never used it. Mama never used it.
Because then there became the war. And in the war, certainly, I think they did not buy these things. During these 5 years of war, I think there were not so many of these things. So it must have been before 1940.
Oh,
so... Oma had already in 1925. And so after 12 and a half years in Holland, they celebrate the copper wedding.
Oh.
And that must be then about 37 or 38.
And that's when she got the set.
1938, before the war, you know?
And that's when she got that tea set, probably.
And then she got that from all the family, you know?
I did not remember that tea set at all, I must admit. Again, when I looked at it, I think I could imagine very well that it belonged to Oma.
Yes.
But I have never seen it in my... I don't remember that I have ever seen it when I visited Oma.
I do remember the tea set, yes. I remember that the... How do you say it? Where the tea is in it? How do you call that?
The teapot?
The teapot, yes. It had a plastic mouth.
That's right.
The point of it.
Yes, on the spout.
Yeah, the spout. And it was always a little bit brown. And when I was little, I always thought, yucky. Yeah. What's that?
And I said, no, I don't remember. I don't know if I really need it or... And so, but she really, it was, I think she, for her, it was a piece of Oma house or a piece of her living in Holland, or, no?
Yeah.
A piece of Holland, something
sure.
like this for her.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that immigrants always have some strange syndrome about having something or not that remembers something. And so for her, it was really something, a piece of her life, maybe, or her memory, but not for me. So she was trying to convince me that it was a memory, also my own memory, but it was not. So we were always discussing about this. But I remember...
Because normally she used
a tea set which was about a little green, and I knew my mother, she dislikes that tea set. It was stored in the kitchen, on a kitchen table. And my mother, she didn't like it at all. And I think that's why I didn't like it, because my mother didn't like it. My mother thought it was very ugly. And actually, deep inside, I did like it, but I felt I was not supposed to like it. So I didn't. And I preferred the one with the back.
You, for instance, you and your at your age and in the place that you're at in your life, you could use that tea set and it would be cool. Right? Not really, the essence of cool. But Mama using that tea set would be the essence of a drag. It would be the essence of going back to the old world.
Oh yeah.
And she wanted to show that she had, you know, acquired assets and.
Of the plastic, yellow, brown thing at the end, from plastic, very cheap thing on a, well, it looked like an expensive teapot.
That's funny that you remember that. It's still on there.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it might be a newer version thereof, but it's still, it's because the spout is chipped. And so I guess in Holland they sell these little, I don't know, these little doodads that you put on the end of the spout so that...
And, well, I can even see these ladies sitting and drinking their tea. And thinking of that, I can also remember that one of those ladies was really very strict and severe. I don't really know the right English words for it, but I was a little bit afraid of her.
And also when there was, for instance, a feast, because there was Christmas or other feasts, or there was a wedding or a birthday, and then there came always a lot of people because the family was very extended, you know. And then there always came on the table all these dishes, all these cups and the teacups and also the other places for... to put on for breakfast, you know, the cheese and the ham and how they eat in Holland the breakfast,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there was always this this teapot, you know.
Right.
And the sugar pot, how is it called? The sugar dose.
Yeah,
you know?
The sugar bowl.
The sugar bowl and the one of the milk and so. And it was always there.
I think I was about, well, maybe 9 years old, something like that, between eight and ten, something. I don't remember exactly which age I had, but anyway, it was on the same level as my eyes. And looking into the cupboard, it was on my left side. I can just see it right there.
You remember it very specifically.
Yes.
Yeah.
Crazy, isn't it?
And it was never used. Mama was more into... I mean, that's kind of old. I mean, that whole tea set, Nicole, is sort of old. It's old. It's old. It's old world. It's old-fashioned. And Mama was into, which takes us into a different arena, Mama was into showing off her stuff. Showing off.
So and so, there is the problem about these dishes. Can, in your container, when it is the moment, there is a place for these things? You said, oh, yes.
Okay.
Cory is willing to bring them to Holland.
But I have to get it to her somehow.
Yeah, no, but then now the problem is if she has a place where she can put
them. And then when, at some point Mama asked me, she said, so would you like to have this tea set? I mean, she sort of cherished the idea of it landing in the in her daughter's hands, the one who, let's say, deserved it, which was the older daughter, which was me. And but I lived too far away from 818 Baker, and so logistically it just couldn't happen.
Likely. If the tea set was, I'm not sure now, no, but the tea set was in a cardboard box, well wrapped. I mean, I'm pretty good at that usually. And then it was simply taken on the plane. That's all, I think.
Normally we would sit in the dining room around the table, and then on special occasions, birthdays, things like that. There were Gompeltje, which Mrs. Gompel was her name, and Oma used to call her Gompeltje. And there was Mrs. Starrenburg, and she called her Starry. So, and then there was this Tante Gerda. They were always coming there, and then maybe there was somebody else that I didn't know. But those were the three that I remember sitting there and drinking their tea and having those fours.
But the best thing should be to have it in a house where they like it for the memories and also that it can be useful.
Once I stopped being jealous, which didn't last too long, maybe a day or two, or is it a day or something, and then I thought, oh, well, it's good that Nicole's going to get it because she's you know near Mama and Papa, and she, yeah. She lives in a nice house, and she deserves it.
Oh, of course, chocolate and all the things that Oma used for the breakfast.
Oh, and she had the tea set in the cupboard with those things.
I think so. Okay. Yes, because I remember there were dishes and spoons and things like this.
And then there were the plates were to put on the cookies and all the sweets and so. And so this is part of our life in certain,
yeah,
certain way. You know?
Thinking of this tea set makes a lot of other memories coming nearby. I mean, it's easier to get these other memories to appear just by thinking of the tea set.
Well, the idea, I think, is to get it back to Hrei or something. But I don't know how that's going to happen. Uh-huh. I mean, I'll just keep it eternally, apparently. But we'll see. I'm not going to sell it just to some stranger. That's for sure. It'll stay in the family. But it's just this strange story of this tea set. So
yes, it is really funny. That's especially because of the family being spread all over the world.
Exactly.
That makes it more special.
Exactly. Yeah.
And indeed, I think Grey would really like to have it, but maybe even Monique.
Object going to this world, knowing I enjoyed your arrival and presence. You were vital and for me to spend time with and energy towards. This is not without notice. I now release you into the world to others provide joy. Be in this world always. If needed, I will find you. Go into this world knowing I enjoyed your arrival, presence, and departure.